Pastor Jeff Johnson says you don't have to be ruled by fleshly desires.
We will always contend with the flesh because we live in it, right? So we're carrying this thing around for a while. We're in these fleshly bodies, and so we got to contend with the flesh, but we are not in the flesh. We contend with it, but we're not in the flesh. That's the greatest news. At one time, it ruled and reigned in our lives, but no longer. Something has changed that whole dichotomy.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hi there. Set aside the next half hour and join us for what we hope is a spirit-led, spirit-filled time in the Word. Here on Sound Doctrine, Pastor Jeff Johnson is partway through a series in Romans, and we left off last time in chapter 8 and verse 6. We're talking about the spirit life today, in other words, how to experience fullness of life as we're filled with the Spirit of God. Now, if that is something you desire, well, you've come to the right place. Here's Pastor Jeff.
Now, verse 6, going back to our text, he says, for to be carnally, here's that word again, carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, there's a new law that's sort of entering in here. It is the law of sowing and reaping. To live after the flesh is death. We know that it says in Galatians 6, 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not deceived. They that, you know, live after the flesh will reap corruption. And he makes it very clear there that it's death. It's an emptiness. Solomon, who I would say, he would say to us, you know, during that period of time, I am a man of God. My father was a man of God, had a heart after God. I have a heart. Actually, it was a half heart after God, okay? Solomon was half-hearted. He wasn't, he was into silver and gold. I mean, he collected it. He had all the silver and all the gold in all the world. He sat on piles of it. You know, he had every woman. He had actually 1,000 in his harem. Can you imagine? 1,000 women. Some of you guys are going, ugh, yeah. 1,000 women, you know. I can't even handle one, you know. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But anyhow, he had education. Very wise man. Very wise man. Solomon seemed to have it all. Riches, everything. Power. 12 years later, down the road in his life, he is quoted as saying, all, A-L-L, it means all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I'm not happy. I have everything this world has to give, and I'm not happy. I'm vexed in my spirit. I'm bummed out. I'm not satisfied. But to sow to the Spirit, and here's where Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 becomes very clear. Ephesians 2, 1 says, and you has he quickened, he made you alive, who were dead in your trespasses and sins. You see, you were body, soul, and spirit, but your spirit was dead. But when you received Christ, your spirit was made alive through the Holy Spirit that quickens our dead spirit. And all of a sudden you become alive spiritually, and you begin to realize that God's the creator and Jesus is your friend and he died for you, and spiritual things open up. And everything's getting clear now. So quickened by God's Spirit, alive unto God, concerned about the things of God. In other words, you're finding out that seeking first the kingdom of God is where it's at, and all things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. To seek first. I need to seek the Lord. I need to get into things of God. Then everything else is going to be taken care of. When I realized that, man, you talk about a ton of burden on my shoulders. I mean, I was separated from my wife. We did not talk. She hated my guts. We'd talk on the phone. She just, ended up hanging down. It was just nuts. And yet here I am, a new Christian. And I'm going, wow, I need something. And the Lord says, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom. Seek me, and I'll add everything else to your life. Don't worry about anything else. Just worry about your relationship with me. Man, it's simple then. And it is true. He is faithful to his word. And he brings clarity immediately. The results, in a sense, as far as walking in the Spirit, is a sense of God's presence. To know that he is with me. His love touches you. His life, his peace. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. He's saying in verse 6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want life. I don't want vanity and vexation of spirit. I want fullness of life. If it's in things, okay, I'll go that way. But it's not in things. Okay, so then I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go towards God. And then he says, and in me is life, true life and peace. True shalom, perfect rest and peace. What I love about the Lord is that not only do I get peace with God, but he gives me the peace of God to rule and to reign in my heart. You say, Jeff, how do you get that? Well, in Philippians 4, it talks about that we are putting off anxiety and we're with prayer and thanksgiving, making our requests made known unto God. We're praying. We're having a relationship with God. We're casting our cares upon him because he cares for us. And as we do that, we have that relationship. And then not only do I have peace with God, but then he says, then you experience the peace of God because he comes upon you and you're good. Perfect peace and rest, whose mind is stayed upon him. And so it's a choice that we make. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve the world, mammon, the things of the world, money, power, whatever the world says is what you need. You make a choice. No, I'm going God's way. Choose you this day, Moses said, who you will serve. Now, going on to verse 7, Romans 8:7, because, he says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's at war with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Interesting. Carnality. Remember, that's where we get our word chili con carne. Beans with flesh. To live in chapter 7 is to strive and war with God. It's just a horrible place to be in. There's a lot of confusion, to be carnal. It's to seek to live the spirit life in the flesh. Trying to be religious when it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. But we try so hard. But yet, he says, we can't and we won't please God ever that way. This is why, parents, teach your kids now the importance of being a spiritual man. Teach your son the importance of being a spiritual man of God now. Instruct them in the ways of the Lord, how to be a spiritual man. And for your little girls, teach them how to be women of God now in the home. Raise them up and always share with them what it is to be born again. And then eventually you'll be praying with your little ones. You'll be actually praying the sinner's prayer with them. Yeah, there's a sinner's prayer. And you go, what is that? Well, in my seeker book, I call it the seeker's prayer. And it's just a simple prayer of inviting Jesus to come in and be Lord and Savior of your life and confessing your sins. It's powerful. And I'll never forget when I led my 7-year-old and my 5-year-old to the Lord and how it changed their lives. You immediately see the fruit thereof. And it's amazing how the Lord apprehends the little ones. But we need to train them up and then to lay hands on them and pray for them to be filled with the Spirit. When was the last time you grabbed your junior higher? And said, I'm going to lay my hand on you. He's going, no, Dad, no. No, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, okay, Dad. It's a little different. And I'm going to pray that God's Spirit will come upon you and empower you because you need Him. You cannot do it on your own. So that's important. And then verse 8, Romans 8. So then, they that are in the flesh, what? Cannot please God. The lowest level of life, the fallen state in the flesh, meaning outside of Christ, meaning a child of wrath, or as Ephesians 2 says, a child of disobedience, the self-life. My will be done is really what its cry is. My will be done. I want it my way. Burger King way. And there's emptiness. You can't please God in that place. The problem here is that we were created to please Him. Revelations 4:11 says that for His pleasure we are and were created. We were created to bring pleasure to the Creator of the universe. Does he not have in his creation? He doesn't have the hearts of men and women. And when he gets our heart, it's to please him, because everything pleases him in this world, that which he's created. It's all there to please him, except us. You know, we have the choice to run after him. Actually, he's the potter, we're the clay, and the difference between the clay and us is the clay doesn't have feet, we do. And we can jump out of the potter's hand and split. And that doesn't do us any good, but, I mean, that's the difference. We need to stay there because He is molding and melting us, filling and using us as He pleases. And we're pleasing Him by staying there in that place. Jesus said this, I do always those things that please the Father. You see, all He wanted to do was please the Father. And so His Spirit came into our Spirit to cause us to always want to please the Father, to not do anything that would grieve His heart, but to please our Father. Guys, as we seek Him, we find pleasure in Him. We find fulfillment in Him, wisdom in Him. And as a believer, we will always contend with the flesh, because we live in it, right? So we're carrying this thing around for a while. Just face it. We're in these fleshly bodies, and so we got to contend with the flesh. But we are not in the flesh. We contend with it, but we're not in the flesh. That's the greatest news. At one time, it ruled and reigned in our lives, but no longer. Something is changed that whole dichotomy. We're not ruled by fleshly desires anymore. Remember, the new law, the new nature, the spirit of life in Christ supersedes the old law that was ruling and reigning in our lives. And Paul made that very clear. We have victory now because of His Spirit entering into our lives. Because we have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, His Spirit comes. He Himself comes to live inside of us. Now, when I'm baptizing children, I'm always asking them, well, when did you receive Jesus? And they tell me when they received the Lord. And then I go, well, now where is Jesus? Well, He's in heaven. You know, a lot of times they just immediately, He's in heaven. No, wait a minute. Where's Jesus? If you receive Jesus, where do you receive Him? In my heart? Well, then where is he? Oh, He's in my heart. And they're getting it. Because He comes to live inside of us. He comes by his Spirit. He is with me. He walks with me, talks with me. He's living in me. And then finally, we'll end with verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. This is good news. But in the Spirit. Oh, man. But then he says, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is a great verse to give to someone who is religious. You say, well, why is that? Well, if the person goes to church and is a faithful, you know, person that belongs to a denomination or to a group of people, then they're religious and they do they're good people. They give to the poor. They might even know about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's about as far as their religion goes. They know about them intellectually. But when you talk about, do you know him? It's a different word than intellectual. It's gnosko. And in the Greek, gnosko means to know something because you've had experience with it. You know it. You just know it. You die because you know it's the truth. Have you experienced Jesus? Do you gnosko him, you know? And this verse, I think, really brings it home. This is to someone who's not born again. They have not yet experienced and given their lives to the Lord. They have not invited him to become Lord and Savior and to rule and reign in their lives, in their hearts, to come into their heart. With the heart, you know, we receive him. With the mouth, we confess. And as we receive him in our hearts and confess with our mouth, we're saved. So this is to someone who is like Nicodemus. Remember Nick at night when he came sneaking up to Jesus? He didn't want anybody to see him because he was a very high up religious person. He said, Jesus, I know you're a man of God, or you couldn't do the things you do. But because I know you're a man of God, you know, what do I got to do to do what you do and to live like you live? And Jesus just simply said, marvel not what I'm about to tell you. Don't freak out at this guy. But what I'm about to tell you is you must be born again. And I'm not talking about going back to your mother's womb and coming out again. I'm talking about being born again from the Spirit of God. That which is flesh, we were born by our physical parents, that's for sure. But then we need to be born again by our spiritual father. You must be born again, he said to him. Very key. Why must we be born again? So we can say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, what do you mean by that? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just jot that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Paul says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? He owns you. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Man, that's so right to the point. And then over in our text, Romans 8, verse 11. Look at that. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells where? In you. He that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So it's all about having God's Spirit in you. The Spirit life is a whole new level of living. We must be born of the Spirit. Then Jesus takes his home and his abode, his place of residence in us, in our hearts. There was a track that was made, and it's an oldie. It's an old track that was going around many years ago. And the title of the track is My Heart, Christ's Home. And it tells this in an interesting way of entering into the every room of my life. You know, it's just a little tract that talks about Jesus coming into every room. The great room is the room of the times where we have devotions and prayer. It's when I come to the Lord and I enter into the great room and I begin to have a relationship with the Lord. But then all of a sudden, I get busy. I get distracted and I'm not spending as much time in the great room as I should. And I'm beginning to drift. And then finally, you know, it gets, you know, I get busier and busier. And the next day I'm running out of the door and Jesus is in the great room and he says, hey, where are you going? Oh, I'm busy. I got to go do this, that, and the other. And he goes, hey, I really miss you. I miss the times we've been having. Over in 1 Corinthians 6 again, in verse 15, it says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a harlot, of a prostitute? Paul said, God forbid. Perish the thought. No way. You know, once you're born from above, do you go back like a dog returns to his vomit? I don't think so. It's a horrible thing to go back. I mean, all of a sudden, but there might be a room in your house, in your life that kind of stinks a little bit. And it's starting to smell up the whole house. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, you know what? I want to go into that room upstairs. Can you give me the key? And you say, well, wait a minute, Lord, that's my room. That's for myself. I mean, every other room you can have, but that's my private room. And that's just for me. So can you just ignore it? You can have all the rest. And the Lord's saying, no. Unless you give me that key, I'm out of here. I'm gone. It's over. All right. Here's the key. I tried to clean it up so many times, and I just can't do it. There's that proverb in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And man, you can get a broken spirit after a while if you've got a room that stinks. I mean, it really is pulling you down, and you're not willing to let it go. Okay, it's yours, Lord. He takes the key. Takes some of that Holy Spirit spray that's very powerful. He goes into that room and the stench is removed. It's gone. It's just wiped clean. So what we can't do, what we couldn't do, he does. He comes in and he delivers and he frees us. And it's to God be the glory. But we must surrender. We must see that he's waiting for you to confess it. He's waiting for you to call upon him for that room, for that area. You must surrender. What area do you have that stinks? Which room is that? And it's still binding you. It's still robbing you of the joy of the Lord. Let him in. Yield to his call this morning. And he'll come in and he'll spray that room out. He'll free you. He'll liberate you from the stench.
Pastor Jeff Johnson on the freedom that's made available to us in Christ. This is Sound Doctrine, and we've been in the rich and highly applicable 8th chapter of Romans today. Remember, you can access these daily studies by visiting our website. Simply log on to sounddoctrineradio.org. To purchase the CD, give us a call. The number is 800-353-7553. Again, we are here to serve you at 800-353-7553. So why do I need to be saved? And from what? Those are common questions and perhaps questions you've even wrestled with. Well, thankfully, God's Word clarifies our situation and points us to God's solution. Today, we'd like to recommend 24 ways to explain the gospel. This pamphlet contains dozens of excellent word pictures and illustrations that will help you communicate the gospel in a way that everyone can understand. Request it today for just $4 at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call 800-353-7553. And we'd very much appreciate your support. Your gift, whatever the size, helps us get the word out all over the world. People are being helped and blessed as a result, and we continue to look to the Lord to provide. And maybe He's leading you to partner with us. You can donate online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. One last request, and that is simply email us. We'd love to know how the Lord is using sound doctrine in your life. You can email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Thanks for listening to Sound Doctrine, the daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, and made possible through your generosity. Join us next time when Pastor Jeff will continue his study in Romans. So, Father,